time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
Hey, Thrivers. This is Lee Bockham. Welcome to the podcast. This is the Thriveology Podcast, and we're here to talk about how to thrive. I'm a thriveologist, full-time thriveologist, which means I'm always studying how people thrive. That's my job. But I'm only a part-time thriver, which means that sometimes I struggle to do that in my own life. But that's why we're here. We're here to learn and to grow. Today, I want to tell you a little story about someone who was very dear to my heart. It's my grandmother. My grandmother is the ultimate optimist. I remember when I was a young child that she and my grandfather lived just outside of Washington, D.C. And so when we visited her, she would take us into town to see the sights of Washington. And I remember how many times we would go to the zoo and we would go to the Smithsonian and we would go to all these wonderful places in Washington. There was only one problem. Now, my grandfather would be working during the day, and so she would have us to herself. And my grandmother lacked one thing, and what she lacked was a sense of direction. And so I think every single time we found ourselves out headed for Washington, we also found ourselves lost somewhere in the midst of Washington. Now, I've got to tell you, Washington's a big place with lots of places you don't necessarily want to be lost. But we would always find ourselves lost. And I would realize at some point, you know, as we're driving around and not making a whole lot of progress. And I remember turning to my grandmother and saying, "Grandmama, are we lost?" And without missing a beat, she looked over at me and said, "Oh, honey, yes, we are. Isn't this fun?" And she would make it fun. We would stop and have hot chocolate and enjoy something in the midst of being lost. And we discovered more of the city than I ever thought I would. As I grew up, I realized that that was just the way my grandmother saw everything. She always saw the best in people. She always saw the best possibilities for people. And when they did something wrong or hurtful, she would interpret it as coming from somewhere within them that must not be who they really are. She always saw the best in people and always saw the optimistic side of life. Now, she ran a farm after my grandfather died. She ran a farm on her own and did lots of business. And so it wasn't that she was just Pollyannish. She just had an outlook that believed that in the end, everything would work out. Now, let me tell you about another person. This person was a client of mine for years. And no matter what happened, she knew that it was going to end poorly. No matter where she was, no matter what opportunities came her way, no matter what was going on, she just knew that it was going to end poorly. And here's the irony. It always ended poorly for her. It always ended with her losing out. And no matter how much I tried to show her an alternative view, she stuck with that mindset, which is what we want to talk about. Mindset. A mindset is an outlook. It's a way of looking at the world, very much like having the idea of a paradigm. A paradigm, set of rules of how you interpret information. A mindset is how you think through a process. Now, understand that we have a lot of subjectivity to our thought process. In fact, according to the scientists, there are somewhere around 11 million impressions of information coming to our senses at one time. Our sight, our sound, our hearing, our taste, our touch. All of those senses are taking in all of this information. But 11 million pieces of information is far too much for us to interpret. And so instead, we only choose about 40 pieces of that information to use through our model. That leaves out a lot of information and leaves out a lot of options that might challenge how we think about things. But instead of the challenging pieces, we take the pieces that allow us to see the world as a coherent whole, even if it doesn't really represent the world around us. Think about maybe you have a friend that has a different political view from you, and you and your friend will talk about the politics. And both of you will look at the exact same set of circumstances and interpret it completely differently. You may interpret it as a problem of leadership or problem of laws or problem of motivation in people. But somewhere along the way, you notice that even though the two of you are starting from the same page, you're getting to a different place. You might have the same circumstances, but you're arriving at a different conclusion. And the reason for that is because of a difference in mindset. So that's the idea of a mindset, is it helps us interpret the world. It makes us see things as a whole. And unfortunately, when we see things as a whole, we need to discount or not look at the things that maybe go against us, maybe challenge our sense of reality. So today I want to talk about the fact that there are really two mindsets that we want to set in oppositions to each other. First is the failure to thrive mindset, that mindset that keeps us from thriving in life, from growing, from developing. And then there's the thrive mindset. The thrive mindset is very different from the failure to thrive mindset because it helps us to keep thriving. And what I've noticed about mindsets is once we have it embedded, if it is not challenged and we do not challenge it, it will be the continuing way we understand the world around us. We will continue to see people and events through one of those mindsets. So let's talk a little bit about this failure to thrive mindset, and then we'll talk some about the thrive mindset on a couple of points. First is the failure to thrive mindset believes that life just happens, that we're stuck in what comes our way, and that there's fate, luck, the gods, other people out to get us, the government out to get us, all of these things that are outside of our control. In fact, social scientists consider that to be the external locus of control. When we look at who is in control of our life, if we put it out there, that life happens to us, that there's fate, there's luck, bad luck, good luck, that things just happen to us over which we have no control, we have placed our locus of control, our center of control, external to us, out there, that there's no way that we can do anything about that. It just happens to us. My client I was telling you about is stuck in that model. She would see everything is out there beyond her control. No matter how much I tried to point out how she might be able to respond differently, she chose to say, no, this would have happened. I would have done this, but nothing would have mattered. It still would have been my bad luck. And I will tell you that this is one of those people that made me wonder about luck more than any other, because it seemed she always had bad luck. And what I finally realized was we all have things that happen to us. We all have things that are outside of our control. But she created even more problems because she believed she had no control. And she believed that whatever she did would go wrong. Now, let's put that against a thrive mindset. A thrive mindset believes that events and circumstances happen, but there's a choice in how to respond, and what I do depends on me. I have some bearing on what happens. I can watch an event and choose how to be responding in it, to be responsible, able to respond in a situation. And when I'm able to do that, when I'm able to see that I have some control of my destiny, then I have an internal locus of control. I've taken it inside of me. I've seen a way that I can influence the outcome. Now, there are those who believe that they create everything in their reality. From a metaphysical perspective, some people believe that as they think it, they're creating reality and they're weaving it around them. That is an extreme of the internal locus of control, that my thinking actually creates reality. But I want to step back to a little closer to what I think is reality. My mindset of reality is that there are things that happen that are beyond our control. Natural events happen that I have nothing to do with. I might be caught in a storm, or I might have somebody attack me, or I might have somebody steal from my account, or I might have my identity stolen. I might have lots of things happen to me for which I really didn't do anything. It's out there, but how do I choose to respond to it is within me. That I always have a choice of that response, that I have a response ability. I'm able to respond in different ways and create a new direction. So let's take it a step further. The failure to thrive mindset believes there is nothing I can do. It's just going to happen. I am stuck with whatever happens. But a thriving mindset asks instead, what can I do? How can I respond? And that changes the outcome. It changes the response to the outcome. Maybe there's nothing we can do about what's going on around us, but we can still choose how we're going to respond to what's coming our way. I'm often reminded of the saying that we have no way of controlling the direction of the winds, but we do have control of how we set the sails. We can change how we're going to direct our lives regardless of what's going on swirling around us. Think about some examples of people who have seen opportunities where no other saw it. Think about people who walk through their day constantly frustrated with something that they can't have, they can't do, that this the world doesn't work this way. And then there are others who go about and say, how can I make the world go about in another way? How can I change it? Inventions are made. Companies are built. People's lives are changed because somebody said, I think I can do something about this. That's a thriving mindset. Now, let me be clear here. This is not about controlling your thoughts. Our thoughts, our pattern, as we talked about in an earlier episode about our thoughts, our mind is created just to create thoughts. That's what our mind does. It just creates thoughts. Good, bad, helpful, not helpful. Those that take us up, those that take us down, it just creates thoughts. There is nothing we can do to shut that down, and there's nothing we can do to make it stop giving us unhelpful thoughts. So this is not about controlling your thoughts, but it is about choosing which thoughts you pursue and choosing to create more helpful thoughts. When my client constantly was focused on what was not going right, she rarely could see what was going right. And in frustration, people would get tired of trying to show her what was going right, trying to show her friendship, trying to show her love, because she was always looking for where it was going to fall apart and how they were trying to get an edge on her. So instead of trying to control her thoughts, I wanted her to choose different thoughts. Choosing thoughts about looking for the best in people or looking for the best in what was going on around her and looking for the opportunities to do some things. And so she would start down that road, but her mindset never changed. And because her mindset never changed, she stayed stuck. She stayed stuck in a place where she didn't know how to find something new that might challenge her understanding of the world. Her understanding of the world was it was unfair, that people were ganging up on her, that people were always trying to use her, that everybody was out to their own advantage, that she was going to be lonely, that she did not have friends, that she could not make friends, that she would not be able to move forward. All of those were created in her life because she was so bound in her beliefs that she couldn't see alternatives. She couldn't see when people reached out to her. She couldn't see when people gave her the benefit of the doubt, when people gave her a helping hand, when people tried to help out. She only saw the times they did not. So this is not about controlling your thoughts, but choosing which thoughts to pursue and then creating more helpful thoughts, being focused on the thoughts that really do help us. Let's talk a bit about mindset, about struggle. The failure to thrive mindset believes that struggling is A, hard, and B, more importantly, useless. And that struggling shows that you're on the wrong path, that life should be easy, that things should come easily. And if a relationship is a struggle, then it's the wrong relationship. If a hobby is difficult, then go find another one. If a job is frustrating, then leave it for a better one. The failure to thrive mindset is based in the idea that struggling is best avoided, that it's not doing anything to help you, and is only getting in your way, so stay away from it. Don't get near it. Avoid it. But a thriving mindset believes that struggling is first a part of life. It's just a part of our existence. And second, that it can teach us skills to do more and be more. That the challenge itself is what helps us to build the muscles. Some years ago, we were at the beach, and it was at the point when the turtle eggs were beginning to hatch. We hadn't been there very often when that happened, so I didn't have a lot of opportunity to understand that process. And so every night, we would go out and watch the nests for signs of a turtle boil. You know, a turtle boil is when the nest erupts with the baby turtles all trying to make their way to the ocean. It's the highest risk time for those little turtles after they're hatched. Because before that, you know, they've been protected. They find the nest on these beaches, and they build chicken wire over them and cover them up to make sure that no animals can dig up the eggs and eat them. But once they're out, they have to make it to the water. And so we would go out at night, and we would watch and wait. And we were basically volunteers to try to help the turtles have a chance to make it to the ocean. I don't know if you know the statistics, but only about 1 in 1,000 turtles make it back to the beach in adulthood to lay eggs. Only 1 in 1,000. And so we were there to be conservationists, to help out with the process of making sure that those turtles had the best chance to make it back. The first thing they had to do was make it out to sea in order to ever get to adulthood. And so we were there to watch. And so what we did is we basically lined a length of the beach with the people on each side of a lane to allow the turtles to crawl to the ocean. Now, there's a lot of time in between, lots of time for people to talk and wait for those little baby turtles to pop out. So while we were doing it, I talked with one of the people who were the head volunteers, the ones who were telling us what to do because they happened to know what to do. And I asked her why we didn't just pick up the baby turtles and walk them down to the ocean and let them go. And she said, well, we've learned something. We've learned that those turtles have to make the crawl from the nest to the sea in order to build the muscles. It activates and builds the muscles in their body in order for them to be able to swim. Because once they hit the ocean, first they have to be able to swim just to keep themselves up since they have to breathe air. But second, they have to outswim all the things that are trying to eat them in the ocean. And so the crawl from the nest, that struggle from the nest to the ocean was necessary to prepare them for life in the sea. So they had the best chance of survival. If we had not done that, if we not given them that chance, if we carried them down and released them, they would have sunk and not been able to make it through. So in this case, the struggling to get there, the struggling to get to that point was what was necessary to build them to get ready for them to take off. Think of it in another way. Think of it when you're exercising. Now, I can tell you this because I spent a lot of my life being completely out of shape. And one day I realized I was out of shape, and the reason I realized it was because of a health crisis. And after that crisis, I realized I had to do something to take care of my body in ways that I had not before. And so I began to exercise, and the first thing I realized was exercising was a bit of a struggle. I was out of breath. My muscles hurt. My body ached. I didn't want to keep going. And yet I knew I had to because I knew that in the struggle, my body was getting into shape. When you build up a muscle, it has to be through struggle. It has to be because you're pushing something heavier than you're used to in order to build it up. But that's the same as a thriving mindset to say, you know what? Life is a struggle, but that struggle is teaching me a lesson. Now notice the shift that happens. If you're stuck in a failure to thrive mindset that believes that struggling is not good, is to be avoided, is no fun, is not doing anything for you, then as you stay away from it, what happens instead? The same thing that happened to my body. You atrophy. Your capacity of dealing with difficulties atrophies. You don't have the built-in capacity of dealing with them because you've avoided that. We avoid the things that make us in pain, and yet those are the very things that teach us the skills that we need to move forward. I tend to think that life is teaching us lessons that we're going to need to know down the road, and when we avoid it, we never learn the skills of survival that we need to have in order to get through and make our mission in life work for us. To get to a place where we are on mission requires us to have built up the muscles to be on that mission ahead of time. So a thriving mindset is to look at the struggles and say, I wonder what this is going to teach me. How do I continue pushing when the struggle is making me hurt, when the struggle is painful? Now, that is not to say that the struggle, that somehow takes away the pain of a struggle. The pain is there. The meaning you put upon it is either this is a waste and I need to get away from it, or this is something that I'm going to learn from and I've got to move through. Our options are one or the other. Do we avoid the struggle, or do we move through the struggle and look for the lessons that teach us how to thrive more? How about a mindset about the past events? Because past events tend to keep us trapped in many ways. The failure to thrive mindset says, I am like this because of what happened to me. What else could I do? Think about the people you know and the psychology we understand of when something happens to us, we're caught by that. We're stuck on that. In fact, for over 100 years now, psychology has based itself on the fact that things happen to us, therefore we're this way. There's no way around it. We're just going to be this way because of those things that happened in our past. And we've built into our world an understanding of the victim, that we somehow are this way because of what's happened to us. And what therapy has done is it's created a place where people learn to cope and heal. But what it's done is it's created a trap on the other side that you can, at best, after these things that happen to you, get back to normal. That's not a thriving mindset. A thriving mindset says, I can't change the past, but I can choose how much I allow it to define me. I am more than anything that happens to me. Circumstances do not define me. They challenge me. So those past events suddenly begin to be the impetus for how we're going to be in the future. We can say, you know what? I'm either a victim of what happened, or those things in the past have taught me lessons that maybe I wouldn't have chosen, but I can choose the lessons from them. So when we define ourselves from the past, we're stuck in the past. We have a failure to thrive. When we see what happened to us, but refuse to allow it to define us, to see that we are more than anything that happens to us, more than any event around us, we begin to move towards a new mindset, a mindset that lets us thrive because we're able, again, to learn from that struggle, to learn from those past events. Now, there are those who say, oh, you know, that means you're just denying what happened in your past. Let me be clear. If you deny what happened in your past, you're stuck in it. But if you stay in the past, if you're always focused on who something did to you, the victim that you are, the bad thing that happened in your childhood, the bad thing of how you were treated at some point, then you are defined by that and you are trapped by it. But if you acknowledge that those things happened, that you can learn from them, and then you can choose to move forward, then you've chosen to thrive, to rise above it, to realize that there is a new place to move towards. You'll notice that in all of the mindsets of a thriver, it's about growth and learning from what happens. It's about taking control of what can be taken control and recognizing there are things that are beyond that. That as the bumper sticker says, bad things happen, and that's cleaned up version of that bumper sticker. But bad things happen. They just do. How we choose to work through them is different. I come at this thinking about it as both a sailor and a surfer. A sailor has to deal with the winds that are coming their way. You don't have a motor to get you where you want to, so you have to use the winds to direct you in ways that you kind of move the sails and move you towards what you want. Rarely do you have a wind that's blowing you in the exact correct direction. It might be running to the side. It might be almost coming straight on, and you have to figure out some ways of using that to your advantage. The surfer is the same. The wave's coming your way. How you're going to surf that wave is your choice. How you decide to take that wave in is your choice. And when you do that, you're choosing to learn from the circumstances and to use those circumstances to propel you forward, not hold you back, to not keep you trapped, but to free you up to go in a different direction. When we choose to be able to respond, not to be at fault, but to be able to respond, we're adapting a mindset of a thriver. When we choose to be defined by the old events, or defined by something outside of us, or defined by the fact that we feel there's nothing we can do, we're caught in a failure to thrive mindset. We don't have control of our thoughts, but we can choose which ones we pursue, and then we can make a choice to create new thoughts that move us in new directions. We can learn to take on a struggle as a way of learning a new skill. We can learn to look at the past and say, that happened, but it's not who I am. This is where I'm headed. And we can realize that our place of control is inside of us, to control our destiny by our response and our direction. That's the thriving mindset. Hopefully this has been useful for you. If it has been, I hope you'll help us out a little bit by spreading the word about this podcast. If you're on Twitter, all you have to do is type in your browser, thriveology.com/love. Thriveology is thriveology.com, thriveology.com/love. That will pre-populate a tweet for you, and you can send it through your Twitter account and let people know that you've heard something useful here. If you've got an idea that you would like for us to look at during these episodes of the Thriving Podcast, then please email me at podcast@thriveology.com. That's thriveology.com, podcast@thriveology.com, and that gives us a way of responding to you. Other than that, I wish you the best as you continue to build your thriving mindset. I'll see you next time.
Listening to the Thriveology Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at thriveology.com or at thriveologymagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled thriveology. It's your life. Time to live it.